This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago. St. Francis de Sales' attention to the little virtues of gentleness, humility, kindness, and cheerful optimism shape monastic life in the Salesian tradition. Learn about the Visitation Sisters at georgetownvisitation.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. When it is said in today's gospel that Jesus has made the blind to see and the dumb to speak, you might ask, well, what do they see? What do they speak? Well, the answer comes to us in faith. Basically, they speak and see the faith. They see the Son of God and they hear His word. But they will not see or speak or hear without faith. Now, faith, and it's a gift from God. We can't develop faith. It's a gift from God. Faith is first. Nothing in our religion, and when you think about it, nothing in our lives, nothing in our world makes sense without faith. Without faith, all of this, the church and all our activities here, but also our lives when we leave this church and get in our cars and get out there like ants in an anthill, all of it is pointless without faith. Faith puts a point to everything and brings it all together in our souls. But we live in a world, a scientific world, a positivist world, where nothing can be understood as true unless it goes to the grinder of doubt. Unless you can put it under a microscope and see it, it's false. It's a materialistic world that really has no room for faith. It has no room for invisible things. And we fight this fight all the time. And we have to do, I mean, talk about all the time, we're talking 24/7 from the newspapers we read, to the television that we see, to the radio that we hear. We fight this fight, and we must do whatever we can in our lives to resist the modern temptation not to believe. We must do everything possible to build up our faith and our capacity for faith in the face of a world that tells us faith is stupid. So in this way, I think daily Mass is a huge, huge help. Now remember, everything I say about going to Mass every day is for those for whom it is possible. Your situation in life may be such that right now you could never do it. That's okay. File this talk away in the back of your brain, and when things change at home or in your life, remember what we said about the benefits of going to Mass every day, and bring it forward, and maybe bring it into your life. Now, the first most obvious benefit of daily Mass comes to a person who needs to fill a hole in their heart because they've lost someone. I know that they can find great consolation and great comfort in daily Mass, because daily Mass is for the troubled and for the sorrowing and for the sad. The grace that comes into one's heart from that one Mass and communion is at least enough to fill the hole for that day. And then they'll come back again tomorrow, the next day, and the hole will be filled again. I saw that in my own family, and my own mother got sick and died, and my father started going to Mass every day, and I know it helped him. I will never tire of recommending this wonderful Catholic practice of Mass every day. You see non-Catholic churches that are open only one day, and you'll wonder, is religion for these poor people just a once-a-week matter? What if something is going on in their lives on Wednesday? They can't come to church to pray? There's no service, there's no worship. No, nothing but a locked door in an empty building. And I feel sorry for them. I remember one Christmas evening driving by what they call a congregational church. Now that's what the Puritans became. They became the Congregationalists. Well, this Christmas morning, it had snowed that morning about an inch. But passing by the church about 5 o'clock in the evening, I saw not one footprint on the sidewalks leading up to the church. It was kind of sad that not even on Christmas could those poor people gather together to rejoice in their Lord's birth. So besides giving comfort and consolation to the troubled and the bereaved, another reason the daily Mass is such a good thing is that it helps us spiritually go through the year and understand all the great things that God has done in our lives to give us strength to go through this life. A whole year with the Church is punctuated with feast days and memorial days and solemn celebrations to help us appreciate God's love for us. Daily Mass, with all its commemorations, makes us realize that our lives are peppered and seasoned with all the elements that can give us a holy and a happy life. And you know it, we know it. The Church gives us a calendar which marks almost every day with something upon which we can hang our spiritual hats, a hook by which we can think and pray about something that Jesus did, or by which Mary or the saints and the angels can be honored. And this hook tells us in a very beautiful way that both our lives and our world, they belong to God, to no one else but God. And God has consecrated every day of every week of every year to Himself and to our salvation and given them to us as a gift. And the Church calendar reminds us of that. It's His year, not anyone else's. It's His year. When we go to Mass every day and we hear about the saints and their lives or Jesus and His glory, we remind ourselves that this or that day doesn't even belong to us. It's not just one more 24-hour period of worrying about money or business or family or health. Because we learn that the problems of the day are not going to be met alone, but with God and with Jesus and with the saints and the angels right there by our side. So not only is our life not our own, it's God's. Our problems are not our own. God takes them with Him for us as well. We see the finger of God in our lives, moving us and helping us and nudging us this way or that. And the Church calendar tells us that our lives are totally involved with God, and going to Mass every day helps us understand that Church calendar. At least that one's one way. I know a couple of months ago, a prospective bride was looking for a wedding date. Now, I don't think she goes to Mass every day, but she wanted it near August 15th. And I asked her why she wanted it so badly, August 15th. And she said, well, isn't that the day that Mary was taken up into heaven? And I was so amazed that a young modern woman would be aware of this great holy day and that that is why she wanted her wedding around it. I couldn't argue with her reasoning. It was obvious that her life was involved with God in that sense, and the Catholic calendar for her as well as for us are signposts that direct our lives. Last winter, January 7th to be exact, I was in a nearby Italian deli for a piece of pizza, and the proprietress, knowing that I was a priest, asked if I had had a happy epiphany. Well, I guess I wasn't used to being asked that question, and I responded, you knew that yesterday, January 6th, was the Feast of the Epiphany? She said, of course I know it. And so do all these kids who work here, she said. They even brought Epiphany cakes from home, with the ones with the little statues in them. And I thought, this is so old-fashioned, but this is so beautiful, that their lives are punctuated with the feast days. And this is what we all used to do before we went modern. And these are the kinds of things that help us keep the faith, to keep the Catholic calendar, and to do all the customs and to do all the traditions is absolutely necessary to keep our spiritual lives intact. And when our spiritual lives are intact, then we can handle anything that this world throws at us. So we need to know about all the celebrations that take place in the year, not just Christmas and Easter. We need to be aware of each day, each saint, each feast, each holiday, and what it means and how it intersects with our lives. And daily Mass, if it is all possible, is the best way to do that. And for example, this week, Friday, we celebrated a very important feast, the Transfiguration of our Lord. Now that happens every year, but always on the 6th. And if it doesn't happen on a Sunday, and we don't go to daily Mass, we'll miss the Transfiguration every year. So what was the Transfiguration? It's when Jesus, a short time before His crucifixion, took three of the apostles to a mountain and He showed His divinity and His glory to them. He even appeared with Moses and Elijah in dazzling brightness. The apostles, of course, were stunned, but they were also strengthened. because now they knew that somehow this Jesus was divine, and that would keep them on board once they saw the horror and the degradation and the shame of the cross. If Jesus had not shown them this hint as to who he really was by his transfiguration, they would have walked away after he died and said, well, so much for that Messiah. But they stayed, because now they knew there was something else going on here that they needed to understand more deeply. And they were rewarded for their patience, of course, with the resurrection and the ascension, and then the glory of the transfiguration set the stage for the rest of the story when they went out into the world to preach. But the transfiguration helps us understand our story as well. It gives us a hint that we must be transfigured, not just figuratively, but really. You know, according to all the Bible churches, the Protestants, the so-called Christians, all humans, since the fall of Adam and Eve, are evil and wicked and deserve hell. Even when we do good deeds, those good deeds do not help us get to heaven, according to the Protestants, according to the Bible church, because we are so thoroughly corrupt. If we get to heaven, according to them, it's only because God ignores how evil we are and takes us to heaven despite ourselves. But the Catholic understanding, which comes from the apostles, is that sure, we're sinful, but we are not totally corrupt, and there is still some good within us with which God works. And when we receive the sacraments, first baptism, and then communion and confession and confirmation and all the rest of them, and in fact with each prayer, with each good deed, with each act of sacrifice that we perform, God gives us his grace, he gives us his life, and that transforms us, and that transfigures us into creatures that more and more resemble him. And at the end of our lives, when he sees his image in our soul, he recognizes himself in us, and he takes us to heaven, not in spite of who we are, but because of who we are, his children, transfigured by his grace in our lives. Now that's a meditation we missed, if we missed the Feast of the Transfiguration this year. So all I want to do at today's Mass is encourage anyone who is free in the morning to think about coming to daily Mass. We still have two of them here at St. Odilo, 6:30 and 8, thanks to Father Saudis, who provides so much help for the weekdays and weekends. If you are a widow or a widower, and you're retired and you cannot believe the help to your heart the daily Mass will provide, Mass and communion will fill your emptiness as no other activity can. But even if you are young and things are going along pretty okay, you can still benefit greatly in your spiritual life by daily Mass. It will give you more good things and more positive things and helpful things to think about and pray about than a million days worth of silliness from the Sun Times to the Chicago Tribune. Daily Mass will literally become for you what you have always prayed for in the Lord's Prayer, your daily bread. The bread by which your eyes will be opened, the bread by which your mouths will speak. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.